ADS-B, what it will do, what it won't do. I'm Paul Plagg, and this is Aero News. Welcome into this Aero News special feature, and thanks for downloading us today. A few days ago, we talked to Max Trescott. He's the 2008 CFI of the Year. We talked to him in that context. Wanted to get Max back on because in reading through Max's blog, I found a number of issues that I think will be of interest to Aero News readers and listeners. Max, thanks for taking a few moments out for us today.
Oh, happy to be here, Paul.
Let's talk about ADS-B because in your blog, you talked about it and explained it far more clearly than any explanation I have seen yet. And I think this is something that general aviation pilots and aircraft owners really need to know about. Now, this technology at first glance looks like just the perfect solution to any number of problems, but it's going to be potentially expensive and it's maybe not going to solve all the problems we were sold to believe it would in the first place.
Yeah, I agree. And the first time that I read through the FAA's NPRM, I walked into it with a bias of this is going to be great because I was vaguely familiar with the technology and I come from a high-tech background. And then when I got finished reading it, I thought, I'm not so sure this is the panacea, the great system that we're all looking for. And I went back very carefully and read it the second time and realized, nope, there is not a whole lot of this in here for a general aviation. So if you really strip down to the bare bones, essentially, the FAA is looking for a new system that's going to replace the radar system. And so they've come up with ADS-B, which is essentially a automatic system that broadcasts aircraft's position using GPS information. And that's going to be a bit more precise than the radar, which will allow them to ultimately shut down some radar systems. However, the cost savings to the FAA are not as great as they should be because they're going to leave a lot of those radars in place as a backup system. And the cost is largely going to hit the GA pockets directly with almost no benefits. If you put in the required ADS-B out equipment, which they say can cost anywhere from $4,000 to $17,000, you're going to get zero benefits. However, the FAA will get some cost savings. So I really think that we're looking at a proposal that's very asymmetrical in the costs and the benefits. The FAA gets some benefits, and all of the cost seems to go into GA pockets with zero benefits. So I think this is a proposal that's really needs a lot of rework. The technology is promising, but the current plan really doesn't offer any benefits.
Well, let's back up and talk about exactly how it was supposed to work. When we were first hearing about ADS-B, the premise was that there would be a GPS receiver in the aircraft that would determine a position and digitally encoded on a broadcast, which would be sent to other aircraft and to ground infrastructure. And that would allow the entire system to know where all the planes were and would allow planes to know where each other were with accuracy down to presumably, I guess, 3 meters, which is supposed to allow the FAA to dramatically reduce separations in the future. And in return, it was supposed to have an incoming channel that enabled pilots in the cockpit to receive things like weather information, TFRs, any kind of bulletin, all the things that, in the past you either had to subscribe to an outside service to get or wade through listening to, something on your nav receiver. And that whole second half of it, the benefit to the pilot is not required now as part of the initial implementation.
No, that additional benefit could be available to the pilot at additional cost. So above and beyond the $4,000 to $17,000 you might spend complying with the NPRM, you'd have to spend even more money to get to any benefits of all by getting additional equipment to bring data into the cockpit. Just to back up on the original premise, ADS-B was really supposed to allow the FAA to squeeze more aircraft into the national airspace system, and that's because we can more accurately identify the position of every aircraft. But frankly, that's not going to do a thing for reducing the congestion that we currently have, which really is based at the airports because of a lack of runways, taxiways, ramps, and gates, and so on. In fact, if you look at the thing that's most likely to decrease the delays in this country, it's going to be adding more runways. Being able to squeeze more airplanes in the sky using ADS-B probably is just going to create more problems at the choke points, which are the runways. So it's really unclear where all these benefits are going to come.
Well, and I guess the thing I have to ask is if they're keeping terrestrial radar as a backup to ADS-B, and they get people, they get aircraft airliners separated by one third of the current separation, and then they have to suddenly rely on that backup because ADS-B goes out, then what?
Yeah, that's a really good point. Those backup radar are just going to be in the terminal area, so they'll drop out some of the long-distance center radar and just retain some of the terminal radar in the metropolitan areas. So you're right. I think it's going to be unbelievable when they suddenly have to go to radar and have a huge number of aircraft coming in there. So it's the other problem with it, and this is pretty amazing when you think about it, is it's not just one standard. It's really two standards. And so what the FAA proposed is that we have two different kinds of ADS-Bs in different kinds of aircraft. And guess what? They don't talk to each other. So aircraft above flight level 240 would be required to have what's known as a 1090ES, which is a standard that's being adopted in some other countries. But aircraft below that level could use a lower cost, what's called the UAT system. The only way these airplanes will be able to see each other is by adding yet an additional piece to the infrastructure on the ground, which would be ADS-R, which would be a repeater that repeats the transmissions from one aircraft on one set of frequencies to the other aircraft on the other set of frequencies. Now, the problems with that are really obvious. If one or both of the aircraft are not within sight of this ADS-R site, they could be right next to each other, and there will be no data transmission between the two aircraft. Plus, we've added, we're adding substantially to the cost of the ground infrastructure to now have these ADS-R repeaters. So I think that's, again, the whole premise on this system is a little bit half-baked. Things have changed over time. I suspect the reason they wanted to have UAT available for the lower-flying airplanes was to allow data and weather in the cockpit. However, most people looking for that are now getting their weather from XM a satellite anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And so the need for ASB to provide weather has really much pretty much gone away.
There are a lot of implications to a lot of other arguments going on right now in general aviation, especially user fees that come from the ADS-B debate. When we come back from the break, I want to talk a little bit about that. My guest is Max Trescott, who is a general aviation advocate. You can find out more about his work at maxtrescott.com. We'll be back in a moment. I'm Paul Plack. You're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
You hear that sound? It's one of the all-time great inventions. Takes lids off cans just like that. But now, let's picture something even bigger. A tool that can take the lid off a whole airport. Actually, thousands of airports. It's a Garmin WAAS GPS. Lets you make glide path approaches using runways that were once closed tight during IFR conditions. Hey, if you're gonna fly in the soup, you gotta have an opener. Garmin WAAS GPS. Follow the leader.
Diamond's DA-42 Twin Star is general aviation's ultimate flying machine. Fly fast with the confidence of a twin for the cost of a single. Go direct over water or rugged terrain and cover great distances in the first and only piston aircraft with an advanced airframe, avionics, and engines. The DA-42 gives you options you've never had before, including the Garmin G1000 and known ice protection. Go where you want, when you want, fast and for less. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design for a number of reasons. Clarity Aloft headsets are known for the superior clarity of sound. They're lightweight but rugged enough to meet military specifications. Best of all, they boast better noise reduction than ANR in the speech frequencies that matter most to you. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
Welcome back to this Aero News special feature. I'm Paul Plack talking with Max Trescott, 2008 National CFI of the Year and General Aviation Advocate. Max, we're talking about ADS-B, and I wanted to mention the economic side of this debate. You mentioned that it would cost between $4,000 and $17,000, as currently envisioned, to outfit a general aviation aircraft for ADS-B. Now, if the only benefit on this is to the air traffic control system and there's nothing coming back into the cockpit from this system, then it seems to me this really skews the debate in terms of who's footing the bill for the funding of NextGen. The FAA has presented a case for charging user fees to general aviation based on the fact that in some cases, some statistics show that as much as 27% of the traffic through some of the TRACONs is general aviation aircraft, which is a much higher figure than the 3% typical airport traffic number we often hear quoted by AOPA. If that's the case, I could see that. But then when you look at the true costs of implementing the system, general aviation aircraft owners are already being asked to foot a substantial bill just for the hardware.
Yeah, there's no question. If you figure that we have far more airplanes than airliners out there, then yeah, we're going to have a disproportionate cost of the total implementation on the user side of ADS-B. So yeah, it's certainly doesn't look like it's advantageous to GA pilots at all at this point.
Well, where do we go with this? First of all, if it's going to be $4,000 to $17,000 for the low altitude system, why don't we just standardize on the higher altitude system? How much more would that have cost?
That's a really good point, and that's not clear. That particular data doesn't show up in the FAA's MPRM, and in fact, that's one of the comments that I made when I filed my comments with the FAA, that they really ought to look at just a single standard system, even if it's slightly more expensive, because frankly, if you have another 280,000 airplanes equipping with this more expensive standard, well, the price has got to come down. So I think that the overall cost of the system would decrease if they looked at a single standard, and the you know, the safety is probably going to be enhanced as well, because data transfers are going to occur much faster, and airplanes that might not be able to see each other under their current proposal will see each other instantly. So I think a single standard really does make a lot more sense than two standards.
Let me ask you, for the general aviation pilot who is going to be flying a small plane, especially the recreational guys, that sort of thing, what will it be like working with this technology? Will this be like having a TCAS integrated into your glass panel?
It's probably not going to be a whole lot different than having a Mode C transponder. The requirements are virtually the same as to when you have to have it versus when you have to have Mode C. And frankly, it's probably just going to sit there blinking away if you have the minimum ADS-B out that's being mandated. On the other hand, if you go ahead and equip with the more expensive ADS-B in, then yes, you could be looking at traffic on your glass panel display that you happen to have in the aircraft. You could also be looking at potentially weather in your glass cockpit panel display as well. Now, one of the problems is that the weather and traffic information, well, pardon me, just the weather information, is not going to be available in the more expensive 1090 ES system for high-flying aircraft. So if we choose that as a standard, then we're going to lose some of the potential of weather information in the cockpit. But again, I don't think that's going to be a huge problem, because most people who want weather today are already buying it through third parties.
Now, you just touched on something that I hadn't really contemplated before, and that is that if you're equipped only for ADS-B out, you're not even getting positioning information on nearby aircraft.
That's right. Not only that, you still have to carry your Mode C transponder along under this proposal as well. So we're adding more hardware to the aircraft. We're not taking anything out in substitute.
Well, that's kind of scary. What about Loran? I know that AOPA in particular was on board with extending the life of the Loran system used for navigation as a backup to GPS, so that ADS-B could work if GPS went down. Any idea where that stands?
Sure. Yeah, Loran continues to be an important part of the infrastructure, and I think as we look at backups to GPS, it'll probably continue to be a potential backup to GPS. And frankly, it's something that they ought to be looking at as a backup for ADS-B as well. You know, rather than having 90 or more radars still in service around the country as a backup, perhaps we could have two sets of ADS-B equipment and aircraft, one that's based on GPS, one that's based on Loran, and then just get rid of the Mode C box altogether. I mean, as long as we're adding new boxes to the aircraft, we really ought to find a way to get the Mode C transponders out of the aircraft.
Well, that is sometimes an expensive thing to maintain or replace on short notice if it doesn't pass inspection. So you would think that would be something targeted to go early on. And Loran, if I recall correctly, really is based on technology which has been brought down in price over the years by the volume that's been involved in the consumer and marine markets.
Sure, and over the years we've added more Loran stations, and so the coverage area is now universal around the U.S. We used to have a large hole in the U.S. for Loran, but that's now been covered. Now, the accuracy, that is, the position accuracy you can get with Loran, is not going to be good as GPS. But for a backup system, you know, why not?
Well, it's also not going to be as good with terrestrial radar.
That's true, too.
Well, Max, I thank you for explaining this better than many people have. Sometimes it's tough to read a small column in print, especially if it's been through an editor who's not technically oriented, and get the full story out of that on what ADS-B will be for us. And we will look forward to keeping in touch with you to keep up on this topic.
that'll be great, Paul. And one last thing I just want to add on this is what's really kind of scary, I think, right now is the FAA seems to be on a hyperspeed to implement ADS-B, even though all the comments they're getting back are that there are a lot of problems with the current proposal. So, you know, my concern that right now is we're in a situation of instead of ready, aim, fire, it's kind of the reverse. We're firing, implementing this system, and yet we really haven't quite figured out exactly how it should be implemented. So that could be a problem down the road if we end up with a, you know, a system that's built out before we have a proper plan as to how it should be used.
Well, and then at the same time, while they're talking about getting it started immediately, they're talking about it being mandatory only by 2020. So we got kind of the worst of both worlds.
You raise an excellent point. I mean, it seems silly to have the freight train absolutely racing down the tracks to lay rails for a system where we really don't know where it needs to go.
Well, Max, we appreciate your input. We would invite our listeners to check out Max's blog at maxtrescott.com. That's maxtrescott.com, all one word. And Max, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Paul.
You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your weekend and have a clear and unlimited day.